So thank you all for joining this evening. We may anticipate a few additional people who will join. Special thanks to Travis as the LASD board member. We appreciate your presence. And as we normally do, we'd like to start off with reciting the mission and values. But today is the 1 year anniversary of a tragic event in our country. So what I'd like to do is just take a moment of silence to think about and to consider what took place a year ago. And so if we can just take 20 seconds to and a moment of silence. All right, thank you. And I think we all hope that what happened to George Floyd and others is a learning experience for us all, and we can be stronger as individuals and as a country. With that, I'll start off by restating our mission, which is to reimagine public education in low-income communities of color, to prepare conscious, critical thinkers who are equipped to graduate from college and create a more equitable and sustainable world. Our values, justice, we examine bias, racism, and prejudice. We deliver culturally responsive curricula. We succeed when students' race and class cease to predict their level of achievement. Community, we care, we collaborate, we respect the rights and voices of our stakeholders. Curiosity, we question, we explore, we innovate. Sustainability, we think globally and act locally, we adapt. We encourage systems thinking to create a sustainable future. And lastly, leadership. We listen, we think critically, we advocate, we shift public discourse, we are our own superheroes. So with that, as we progress into the meeting itself, I will call the meeting to order and ask for a motion to approve the agenda.
I move to approve the agenda, Ken.
Thank you, Ken. Do I have a second?
I second, Madhu.
Madhu, thank you. So Madhu.
Aye.
Ken.
Aye.
Janina.
Aye.
Travis.
Aye.
Anthony. Aye. No other board member has joined, correct? Okay, so the agenda has been approved. If we can move down the agenda, any presentations from the floor on non-agenda items? Okay, any presentations from the floor on agenda items? Okay, moving on. I think we will turn it over to Farnaz. Did you want to move this piece forward? The public hearing,
Thank you,
anything?
Anthony. So one of the things that we are going to be collecting your feedback on is our local control accountability plans for all sites. They're linked here. We sent them out to the board members earlier. The main actions associated with our accountability plans, which are really what we're going to be focusing on in this conversation. And we're going to frame your thinking around this really in the presentation that I'm going to share next. So, unless Cami, you wanted to do any additional framing now prior to the presentation, I think we're good to go to the study session where we're going to have a chance to talk through both local control accountability plans, our expanded learning opportunities funding, and really all of the state and federal funding and what our approach to it is right now as an organization. So, Cami, just creating a space for you if you want to say anything more here.
Thank you. I think the only thing that maybe I would add, since it's a public hearing, is just to reframe that the local control and accountability plan, or the LCAP, consists of an annual update, which looks at the prior plan and how we spent money and whether or not we did the actions that we had planned. And then it also is the LCAP for the next 3 years. So it's the plan for the next 3 years. And because of the pandemic, this is an unusual year in that we have two annual updates, one for the current year and one for the prior year. So that's just a little frame about what it is this year.
I'd like to add just one thing also to this public hearing section, that we are making it available for public comment at this time. But seeing that there are no public present for comment, we can move on to the next section. The public may still provide comments through email as put into the public notice.
So is everyone okay with us moving forward with the presentation so that we can create a setting for everyone to give feedback on all of our planning right now? Is that okay?
Excellent. Okay with me.
Yep. Thank you so much. Okay. So the next item is a study session. We have an hour dedicated to this, maybe an hour, a little longer than an hour. I've been doing this presentation in some form pretty frequently for all staff throughout the organization, starting with cabinet and directors and then home office. And then I've spoken to all the middle schools together and the high school last night, actually, and got a lot of feedback, which we're going to share with you. And I'm going to go ahead and start the presentation. At our next meeting, we're going to have an opportunity to really go deep into our strategic priorities benchmark chart, think more deeply about our budget and our planning, of other elements of our work. But I know that you can't be coming to this meeting without some level of curiosity about the most recent thing that you as a board approved, which is our campus visit plan. And so I did want to just give you a glimpse into our campus visits. I have shared with you guys some of the updates that I've shared with all staff that had pictures of campus visits, and will continue to do so. But as of right now, the percentage of our students who have engaged in campus visits at our high school, it's about 28% of students have engaged. And at Gardena, 54% and 60% of our Englewood students have engaged in campus visits of some form, which is, better than LAUSD. High school as of May 10th was about 7%. And California secondary is around 41%, and that's for the entire state of California. So that's with all different socioeconomic statuses and a lot of different responses to the virus. So I think that thus far we've seen strong engagement levels, and our hope is that we'll continue to build on this. Our plan remains flexible. So if kids and families said they didn't want to engage in campus visits but changed their mind, they can still do so. So our expectation is that these percentages will increase. And our goal through all of this process, and a lot of what we're talking with you about, is to get our community to feel more comfortable coming back on campus. So with that, I'm going to jump into the presentation. So you can't really talk about budget without talking about priorities. And you guys remember this image from the 1920 school year. And we really focus on a singular priority, which is implementing reading apprenticeship across content areas, grades 6 through 12, throughout the entire organization. Everyone received professional development. It felt incredibly engaging and powerful for our entire organization, and we were very excited about it. And then COVID happened, and we had to veer away from it, but it was a really wonderful experience to see what happens when you prioritize. Last year, the world required us to be more expansive in our approach to the work. We initiated our Confronting Anti-Blackness and Racism goal. We had to move into distance learning, so that was an obvious priority. How do we address the urgent needs of our community in distance learning? And we hoped to deepen our reading apprenticeship with a focus on disciplinary literacy, highlighting math, We made some progress in this front, not as much as we would have if we had focused on that. And the reality is having three priorities is spreading ourselves pretty thin as an organization. So as we're approaching the coming year, these are some possible priorities that we're thinking about. This needs to go through the process with our staff and our community and really refine what these priorities are. But as I've begun to do this exact presentation for staff and leadership and engaged people in this conversation, it's very clear that it resonates with people thus far. We want to continue our work to confront anti-Blackness and racism by focusing on a single tenet from the four tenets of Black wellness, which was that every child is a blessing, by reimagining our advisory program at ECS so that we really reinforce this single tenet. And this is to be further refined and go through a process of engagement around it. But what's really clear is that advisory program is something that we do across the board in all of our sites. Every child is touched by it, and it's an opportunity for us to engage in a more powerful way to address this tenet. And then our second priority, obviously, is about the return to campus. So we've been in distance learning mode for a year and some months. What have we learned from it? How do we define our new normal? What best practices have changed? So, for example, I don't think we'll ever go back to parent engagement as it was before. You know, with the introduction of talking points, we're talking to parents in all sorts of different ways. The town halls, the online town halls, have gotten as many as 140 parents in one conference at one time, engaging in a conversation. Things have gotten better. Some things have gotten better and changed. And so we need to have a deeper conversation and analysis of how do we define our new normal, our new best practices, centering wellness. So these are some big picture themes in our budget. First of all, you may remember earlier on, the governor's budget predicted a 2.something% cost of living adjustment, but the economy is doing better than they predicted. And now they're forecasting a 5.04% COLA, which is really what we're using to support the salary increases for teachers, the 5% cost of living adjustment for all staff, and then the salary increases for leadership. Then we know also that in-person instruction is a required element for general funding. So unless we're utilizing independent study, people are expected to be in-person for instruction next year. In terms of our expenses, we restored our salary schedule per our conversations last time. We did a minimum 5% COLA. We're continuing our confronting anti-Blackness and racism work. And we're really investing more in outdoor education with the expectation that we want to go back to our values. We want to go back to what engages and brings our students and inspires our students in this work. But we know that it's going to cost more this year because of COVID and the safety precautions and the bus changes and things like that. So we're budgeting more for that. We're budgeting some for hybrid instruction for the families who don't feel safe coming back because of health issues, though our hope is that most, if not all, students will be back in person. And then we're really thinking about our interventions for students with exceptionalities and English learners. I'm going to hand off to Cammy to talk over the LCAP goals.
Thank you, Farnaz. If you recall from prior LCAP years, we tend to use broad umbrella goals for the LCAP, and then we dive into details and the actions that go under each goal. So our first goal is to improve student outcomes. And then our second goal is to improve climate and engagement. You'll notice the language there includes student wellness, in part as a response to feedback we've gotten from stakeholders because of the events of the past 18 months. And then we've also called out ensuring organizational sustainability, which is also a response to what's happened over the past pandemic, because we recognize that staff has really gone all out to try to meet needs of kids during this incredibly difficult time. And we want to make sure that we're being as efficient and effective as possible so that folks don't leave us or burn out. And then finally, the last one is excellent operations and facilities, which is just ensuring that the things that schools do in terms of facilities and operations and, you know, buying books, all those things happen in a way that's mission aligned, that meet the needs of our educational program and really facilitate high student learning outcomes. So sustainability. Part of our LCAP sustainability this year is a lot more similarity in the structure and design of the LCAPs. So the goals are the same across all sites. And the actions in terms of the categories of the actions are also very much the same. So for example, all of the sites have an action around multi-tiered systems of support. Exactly how they'll be implemented at each site is slightly different, but the general idea that we're going to be making those systems more effective and efficient is the same across all sites. The expenditures also vary. The sites are different sizes, the sites have different needs, and the sites have different structures in terms of their programs and employment sometimes. So those are reasons that you'll see differences between the numbers. And then as always, I'd like to give a reading guide to the LCAP because it's a very large and unwieldy document. So what I would encourage folks to focus on as they review it, and you know, it isn't finalized for some weeks, not until you guys approve the budget. So there's definitely an opportunity for feedback from parents and staff and our board. But the things that I would draw your attention to are the actions listed here as kind of both tied to our priorities and really important in terms of achieving our mission. And as always, I'm also free for questions. If anybody finds themselves reading our LCAP, you know, on a Saturday afternoon, don't hesitate to send me an email or a text if you have a burning question.
I just want to open up for any questions you guys have thus far, whether it's about the possible priorities or the framing of the LCAP, the consistencies across sites. Any questions you want to bring here now before we move into the budget slides? I'm sorry, I can't see anyone because I'm sharing my screen. So if you want to talk, just unmute yourselves and jump in. I apologize.
If you feel shy, you can put something in the chat.
This is Travis. I have just a question about your improved student outcomes. And I'm thinking it's probably embedded in your LCAP, but I'm just curious, what data points are you looking at to measure your outcomes?
Yeah, it is embedded in the goals, actions, and services section. But the data that's under improved student outcomes for all sites, it's CASP, it's LPAC, it includes NWEA for the new high school because they won't have any CASP scores for a couple of years. It also includes data for the high school in terms of a senior thesis, because that's a real important outcome for them, that students are getting their senior theses passed and up to snuff earlier in the senior thesis process. It's a leaner, also IEBs are one of the assessments that we use to inform progress.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
With that, I'll just go ahead and jump into the budget details. And I sent this to you guys out in advance with hopes that you might get a chance to look at it in some detail, so it won't be too strange. But these are all of the funding sources that we are getting above and beyond our LCFF dollars, both from the state and federal government this year. And the two sections that are highlighted in yellow are highlighted in yellow because we don't really know how much money we're going to be getting through those funding sources. The first is AB 86, which is really focused on bringing kids back on campus for in-person instruction. And we talked about this last time. I'll go into a little bit more detail, but really the hope was that students would come on campus starting April 1st. And anyone who postponed that until May 3rd, like we did,
lost a percentage a day during that time until the day that you brought the kids on campus. And we made a concerted effort. We really thought about how can we really engage our community and make them feel safe before we ask them to come on campus so that we can engage a broader population of people in our campus visits. So we are expecting a reduction in that amount of money, and yet there is some advocacy in place because low-income schools that serve low-income students of color did launch later. So does it seem fair that they should get less of the in-person funding? So there, it's kind of uncertain, but that's an uncertain amount of money. Are we going to get the whole amount? Are we going to get more because fewer schools launched? Are we going to get less? That's going to be dependent on that. Then there's expanded learning opportunities. So the whole framework for this presentation is based on the proposals that we submitted to you for expanded learning opportunities and the seven categories that you're supposed to utilize the funding for. And the basics of it are, it's really with the intention of bringing kids back on campus in person. So 85% of the funding has to go to in-person instruction and 10% has to go to paras. And then the federal funding sources, ESSER, GESSER, ESSER, so ESSER 2 and 3, those are all the federal funding streams. And you can see that the spending deadlines for those go out as far as 2024. And then there was a little bit of money that we're expecting from LA County for COVID testing. Don't know how much that's going to be, but we just put in a sum of money to because we're expecting that to come in. So the way that I approached this with Tracy was that we summed up all of these funding sources and then we divided it by three, because our hope is that we're not going to spend everything in year one and then years two and three not have the resources that we need for continuing need from our communities. All of it needs to be spent by 2024, but we really want to be strategic about how we approach spending the money in order to make sure that it has the most lasting impact on the needs of our communities. So when you look at the amount per year, that's about how much each campus is going to get per year to implement additional supports and services for bringing kids back on campus and really bridging the loss of instructional time that students experience during this time. The state superintendent has been very clear that we shouldn't talk about it in terms of learning loss mitigation because a tremendous amount of learning has happened during this time. And as you'll see at our next board meeting, our students continue to thrive on a lot of our testing measures, and you'll see NWEA scores where there was significant growth during this time. But to think about how do we really support the social emotional needs of our kids, which is very much aligned with our priorities for this year. So before I go to the next slides, I just want to pause for any questions anyone has here.
I have a quick question. When do you expect the COVID testing funding? Is that expected this year?
The COVID testing funding should come in pretty soon, and it's not retroactive. So it'll be for any COVID testing expenses. Like if we wanted to have a nurse that was going to facilitate that, or leave, it could go to anything associated with COVID testing, like the staffing costs associated with it, the FedEx delivery of things. So, I don't know how much that money is going to be. They haven't come back with detail about that as of now. So I just put a little space saver there for it.
Right. But it is expected this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Starting this year. So this has been our process. Directors really collected a lot of information from the people we supervise and really engaged them in the thought process of how do we do this work. We had conversations with principals and got their feedback. Then done a lot of town halls to get staff feedback and some community feedback efforts. And now we're here at the board, both with the aspiration of community feedback and board feedback. You guys will approve, well, hopefully you'll approve our plan for the ELOs today. And when you do, it's important to note that if 6 months from now we look at our plan and say, actually, that didn't work at all and we need to change the plan, we have the opportunity to come back and recommend changes to the plan as well. So I talked a little bit about the AB 86 in-person instruction. This is where we would lose a percentage a day for every day we didn't open. Based on current projections, we lost about 30%. So that puts us at about $312,000 in funding. Then I'm going to jump into the expanded learning opportunities. And I'm going to share this presentation with you after this. Well, you already have it, actually. All of you have. So this presentation, if you wanted to go into the notes on this page, there's a tremendous amount of detail about these seven funding areas. But we decided to move forward with proposals of work to be done in all but one of the areas. So we did all of the areas except for we're not planning to do community learning hubs that provide students with access to technology and other academic supports. Like, our hope is that our hubs will be engagement on campus and that we will be bringing kids on campus for instruction. So this is one element we're not doing, but everything else here we're doing. Some districts have chosen two or three elements to focus on. Others are doing all seven. We're doing six out of seven in our plan. For extended instruction and learning, these are our proposed activities. We recruited a summer school coordinator who's really helped facilitate our partnerships with external vendors to expand summer learning opportunities. The hope of this is to really get kids to feel comfortable coming back together in person and take away all the anxiety of being isolated for this time. We had planned to do a comprehensive summer online program, but based on feedback, we've decided to scratch that. So that cadence line, which was really minuscule of $3,000, that's going away. We're not going to be doing any online instruction because parents really don't want to send their kids online for any additional instruction. We're going to do fun summer school teachers, a summer school book club, that will be web-based, but in a limited way. And then it's a lot of funding to partners to do outdoor summer programming. Like Woodcraft Rangers has this amazing camp in Idlewild that we could send a large number of students to. We have kids going to other camps in partner organizations that have like a cost, and we're trying to subsidize the cost for them to go to those other camps if they want to as well. So really thinking of ways to engage students in-person activities that are focused on social emotional wellness. And then the teacher innovation grants is something that I launched at MBUSD, and it was a really great source of innovation that really we would pilot things in the innovation grants program and then launch them across the board the following years. We've allocated about $25,000 in funding for this, and the hope is that teachers will propose activities that they want to engage with students in, and they can then ask for the amount of money for the bus or the food, and then would also take their hourly salary out of that pot of money as well. We're using other funding, so like the COLA funding to support the salary increases for teachers, counselors, and staff. The second category here is accelerating progress to close learning gaps. And this is really all the work that we're doing. You heard Cami talk about MTSS, the multi-tiered support systems. But what we're doing for English language arts with an English language arts specialist who can also help the ELD English language development programs. We've got an instructional AP and training budgeted here because we have several, we need additional instructional support across the middle schools and high school. Then strengthening our special education and EL program. You can see a number of roles that are here. And the expectation is that some of these positions will go away after 3 years when this funding goes away. It's possible that state funding will increase and we'll still be able to maintain some of these supports, but some of these supports will go away. And the reality is that we need to respond to the urgent needs of our community right now for the next 3 years in this strategic way. So we are going to have to be okay with things phasing out. There's some funding for professional development additional ALDER teachers, so teachers in training who are currently paras who want to go through that process, and then an HR recruitment person to support all of these hires. I'll pause for any questions on one and two. Thus far. The third area is integrated student supports for mental health and trauma. So this is where the large chunk of funding for outdoor education cost increases. So we've budgeted what we normally budget in our organizational budgets for outdoor education costs, but we're also adding to this the additional costs that we're forecasting associated with the COVID restrictions. The high school needs a parent liaison that we're going to be putting here. And then one thing that a lot of organizations and schools are doing, Travis can attest to this, in Lawndale, they've been doing this for many years. They've had social workers at each site. And really, we've been at a loss because we don't have social workers this year. Our teachers and staff have really tried to shift to meet the needs of our communities, whether it's finding housing resources or food resources and supporting families' urgent needs. A social worker can go to a student's home that's chronically absent and really provide additional support to the family and try to understand what's causing that student to be absent. So there's that. And then there's also classified clerks. So our hope is to have three social workers and three classified clerks who would work with the social workers, do a lot of the administrative duties, but also be their support system when they're going into homes, so nobody's going into homes alone. And then number five, support for credit deficient students, is our credit recovery program that we do every year for high school students who've got some credit recovery to do in order to graduate. So there's the data assessment funding, and we had already planned to do this. We talked to you guys about Tableau licenses for all core teachers, and we got a great deal to do this, which we're very excited about. So that cost is being budgeted here. And then training school staff to address social emotional needs of students. What I talked to you guys about, our potential priority around advisory, is depicted here. And then also continued conversations with Dr. Ken Just Watson and Tiffany Marie to confront anti-Blackness and racism and all sorts of other PD. I wrote Hive Summer PD here, but really a lot of other professional development opportunities have been discussed and will be considered. And so I'm gonna pause on this slide for you to look at it. This is sort of just the ELO funding. So this isn't the ESSER and the GESSER and the ESSER funding, but this is just the ELO funding for this year. And the expectation is that we're using ELO to fund this work this year, and we're going to use ESSER and GESSER and ESSER again to fund the continuation of this work for the 2 years out. Some of the work will diminish probably. So anything that we're doing in terms of online instructional programs, that may be a one-time cost, but some of it will continue for the full 3 years, and we'll probably shape, shift, and adapt based on community feedback. The biggest pots of funding go to outdoor education costs, administrative supports and ELA specialists, so sort of the instructional leadership costs, and then a big chunk to summer school as well.
This is Ken. I've got a question.
Yes, Ken.
Go back one slide. Mm-hmm. What years are we talking about? What summers are we talking about? Are you talking about this summer for some of this?
A lot of it is this summer, and our hope is, based on how effective it is, to continue in the next two summers to continue to provide supports for students and instructional supports as well.
What kind of outdoor programs are we thinking about for this summer?
So I talked about Woodcraft Rangers and their Idlewild camp, but we're also partnering with Camp Max Waldorf in Gardena that has horseback riding and swimming and all sorts of outdoor activities. There's Everwild, which is this organization that has vans, and it picks up students and takes them on hikes every morning in local areas. Really, the main idea around all of this is to get kids to feel comfortable being around other kids, to feel comfortable about being excited to be at ECS.
Okay, that sounds great.
Just one note. One of that camp, the Woodcraft camp, is we've got 1 week of time at Woodcraft, 5 days in July. That's for ECS students only. So we're going to have just like a ECS camp week, kids from all three campuses and maybe even from the new campus if we have capacity.
So I'm going to stop here right now. You'll see that I took a swing at how do these funding sources support our students? How do they support our families? And how do they support our teachers? You can take a swing. If you haven't had a chance to review these slides, I'm going to share it with you in chat right now so that you can see them, but I'm just showing it to you. At the bottom of this slide is staff feedback on the budget as it's being proposed right now. So did a survey that you're going to get to respond to, and all of the teachers who watched this presentation, every one of them responded on this survey. So you can see their feedback there. And then you're going to also have time to give your own feedback on this survey. So I'm going to stop sharing. And right now it's 5:39, so we have about 30 more minutes or 25 more minutes. So what I'm going to do is open up some breakout sessions and put you guys into small groups to sort of look through these additional slides, think through possible questions you have, and then bring us back so that we can ask more questions and have more of a discussion. Does anyone have any questions before I do this?
Farnaz, you said you're going to share the presentation with us? Yeah,
it's coming right now. So the presentation is linked there. You can look at the last few slides. You can look at the teacher feedback. You can look at the feedback questions, which are, you know, what's missing? What do you appreciate about the budget that's being proposed? What is missing? So if you could think about the answers to those questions, and then we'll come back in 15 minutes to have a broader conversation all together. Does anyone have questions before we break up into breakout sessions? Okay. Hey, Kennedy. I will put us into breakout rooms. Hey, Geneva, do you want to be in a group or are you okay just sitting out?
I'm okay sitting out, please.
Okay, excellent.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you all for coming back. So I'm going to be taking notes on the last page of the PowerPoint presentation, but I want to ask one person from each group to report back about what you talked about, questions that came up, and feedback you have. Can someone volunteer to go first?
I'll go first.
Thank you.
And so in our group, we had Travis and Madhu, and for a moment, Farnaz. I think, you know, overall, it was really good to see the feedback from the staff and how positive it was. You indicated that, and we reiterated that. We asked a few questions. One was, is the same priorities and the same focus going to be across all schools, or is there going to be different spending and different, not spending, but different focuses or initiatives per school? So it wasn't clear that it was, you know, if it was, this is what's going to happen across the board or different things. And how would it be allocated was another question, and understanding that. So that those were two things that we discussed. Got some feedback from Travis on what other schools are doing at LASD and what, you know, in relation, he made the comment that it wasn't, there's more focus at ECS on anti-blackness and racism than other LASD schools. Primarily, one of the reasons is because of the focus on EL and some other populations, and so that's embedded in that per se. Is that a right way of capturing it, Travis?
Yeah, I just say, you know, the LCAP and its intention is to reach the unduplicated pupils, and so that's the ELs, low income, and foster youth and low and homeless. But I think it's great for you as an organization to specifically call that area out and to be current with the needs of the students.
So for now, is that, you know, I guess one of the bigger questions is how is that, how are we implementing this across each of the school platforms? Are there different initiatives and different things going on, or the same thing happening across all platforms?
So one of the things that Cammie shared as it related to the LCAP was that our goals and many of our actions are identical across entities, but that the amount of funding that's going to different elements of it vary based on the needs of the school site. And I would say our approach to ELO funding is very similar to that. Some campuses may choose to have more of one type of summer programming than another because that's what their community wants. But realistically, some element of what we've discussed here is going to be touching all sites. And some things are definitively happening across all sites, like the social worker addition and the additional para training and supports and additional hours of para. So there's some things that are very consistently being implemented and some that the school leaders and the staff will have an opportunity to adapt based on the needs. But the themes, the actions are largely the same. And in terms of priorities, once we refine those and get buy-in for them, those will be our organization-wide priorities. So thank you, Anthony and Travis team. I wanna open up to another team to share back questions and feedback or thoughts.
So in my team, I had David and Casey. And they really spoke to some key elements of the extended learning, you know, grant. So first of all, they talked about the social worker piece in terms of the funding allocated to that and how crucial it is, especially to reach some of the students that have kind of dropped off the grid and where they feel like maybe they were putting a lot of resources. So they feel like that's a strong component. But what really caught my attention was when Casey and David talked about one of the key priorities for the summer school is to reintegrate the students back into the in-person learning and that summer school and the way the summer school is going to be structured to make that happen. So one of the things they think when they also communicated to their students and the parents. So they went to the community, they heard their voices, and they brought back what they spoke about. So they basically said, no homework. They say, allow us to get together and really focus on the social emotional piece. And they had some really, like, every time I hear them, the principals talk and they bring back these life experiences, it's like, wow. So one of the things that students were saying is that we're exposed through the reason for going to ECMS Gardena is to escape a lot of the toxic chemicals and a lot of other negative environmental factors. And we didn't get a chance to do that during the pandemic. So please allow us the opportunity to do that in summer school. So for me, that was like, wow. It's not something that even crossed my mind. And they also said the students told them that we're not going to be spending a lot of time on screen online during summer. And then the parents said, we're not going to be sending our kids to do that either. So the community has a really strong vision of what they need, their students need. The parents are very supportive. And I just applaud your principals for just listening and having the wisdom to ask and listen.
Thank you, Kennedy. I want to welcome the principals if they want to add anything to that.
I want to recognize the or re-echo what Kennedy mentioned in regards to social work. There are students that I guarantee you each of the principals loses sleep over because we haven't been able to do everything we can, and we just don't know what to do. Like, we're out of ideas and bandwidth and support, and so that's a very crucial piece for a section of our community that needs it. And then the other thing I just want to say is Farnaz came to our student advisory council, and they were so thrilled to be able to lobby and push ideas and know that she was listening. They were pretty stoked.
It was wonderful to be there. Thank you, David, for having me. Okay. Ken, Allison Group, do you guys want to report back?
Yeah. Not a whole lot to add. I mean, we spent a lot of time sort of, you know, talking about, you know, the policy and how silly we thought the policy was of just dumping $6 million, you know, in one, like, flying over and just throwing money out of airplanes. That's all going to be, it needs to be spent in 3 years. And, you know, the ramifications of how you ramp up and ramp down in a thoughtful way. You know, having said that, the money is there. And, you know, there certainly is a lot of need that's been created over the last year to help students reintegrate, catch up in learning and social, emotional and families and comfort and all that stuff. So I think, you know, front loading it the way you are with these experiences to help integrate them, to socialize them once again, I think is a really good move. So that was it.
Thank you. Does anyone from Ken's team want to add? Thanks. I think the last group was Cami, Danielle, and Tracy, right?
Yes, that was us. We talked about another source of funding that Cami, that is going to be required to revision the May revise. There's more money for unduplicated pupils than we were originally realizing. So we were talking about what would be our strategy, our recommended strategy to talk to principals about how to spend that money. So we were tossing some ideas around, and Ken, this additional line would be ongoing, so it wouldn't be a one-time addition. So that's exciting, and therefore our approach to thinking about it is a little bit different. We haven't shared this with principals yet, but a possible idea we had adding an instructional coach. Right now, instructional coaches, especially at the middle schools, are overloaded because one of our instructional coaches is also the assistant principal. And so we're always having trouble meeting our instructional coaching goals. If we added a full-time instructional coach, which seems like we might have the funding to consider, it could allow the assistant principal to and other folks in the leadership team to focus their energy more on MTSS, which would be a more direct support to low-income students and English learners.
Thank you. Are there questions or ideas that anyone had that didn't get to come through in the debrief sessions? Dave, did I see you raise your hand or was that a wave?
I was saying hi to a neighbor.
Oh, are there any things that came through that nobody had a chance to talk about? Questions or ideas?
This is Travis.
Yes, sir.
Just, I am fully aware of filling out an LCAP and putting all these plans in place and the budget and things like that. I'm just curious, like, where are you going to really practically put your priorities? Kind of on a daily basis, 180 days, for the school year, where will you put the heavy emphasis on a day-to-day when you look at these list of actions?
Yeah, that was actually something that came through in Cami and Danielle's group was the reality that we are throughout the year in our board meetings, but also as a leadership team, looking at the data and shifting decisions based on data regularly. So we have the strategic priorities benchmark chart that really helps us to know what the main pulse of the organization is, how students are doing in terms of attendance and chronic absenteeism and what our learning gaps are for student groups. So that's something that we do on a regular basis and will continue to do. In addition to the reporting required for the LCAP, we do that as an organizational culture piece monthly with up-to-date data on every element of our work. Is that answering the question, Travis? Or
I would also add that because of the work we've done on kind of developing a system for priorities, so that when we have an organizational wide priority, there's somebody who owns it and they own it at each site and also at the home office. And then that's kind of the focus org wide, but then we have what we call minor builds. So for each of the actions that we're kind of calling out on the LCAP, the objective is to have somebody who owns that action, whether it's the ELD coordinator or it's the student services director at the home office, but that we're always creating a person who's staying focused on that action and then also establishing implementation metrics so we can, when we meet as directors or as a cabinet, we're always seeing is the action is progressing as we wanted it to.
Oh, that's helpful. Thank you.
If you have any additional feedback or thoughts or ideas, even if you think everything looks great, I really would love to sort of have individualized feedback on the survey. So if you haven't had a chance to sort of give the feedback on the survey, I would love to ask each of you to take the 2 minutes or 3 minutes to click on the link on slide 22 and give feedback on the survey when you have a chance. And with that, I think we're good to close this study session and go to consent items A through B, if that sounds good to you, Anthony.
Good with me if you feel we're ready to move on.
Thanks. Does anyone have any last thoughts? I just don't want to move too quickly and not create space for anyone who wants to say anything. Thank you all. Thanks for the feedback. Thank you for taking time to review all of these documents and ask questions beforehand. I really appreciated all the questions I got beforehand. And also, if you can give us feedback on the survey, that would be great, because I think it'd be helpful for our staff to see that the board, I want to share this data with everyone and say, look, the staff said this and the board said this, and give them a sense of how we're feeling. So with that, I'm going to share screen again and go to consent items.
Any, by the way, Pranav, any time frame that you want people to give that feedback on the survey?
It would be wonderful if they could give it before end of day tomorrow. That would be helpful. Thank you.
Yep. Okay, moving on to consent items.
Just want to point out we're 2 minutes ahead.
Farnaz and I have been discussing for a while, being dedicated to staying on time. So we're doing what we can. So consent items A and B. How we normally do consent items is we ask for a motion to approve consent items. And then we open it up for questions or comments or feedback. And so regarding consent items A and B, do I have a motion to approve consent items A and B?
This is Janine, and I approve to consent items A and B.
I'll second.
Second, okay. So I'll turn it back over to Jeremiah or Farnaz if you want to discuss, provide any feedback, open up for questions regarding these two consent items.
Just a note on the contracts, item B. The third contract listed, I sent out a full explanation on, you know, what that group of contracts or links are, just to provide a lot more feedback on what, you know, on what that represents. But if there are any questions, I believe Allison is still on and could provide some more details.
Thank you, Jeremiah. That was really helpful when you sent that separately.
Sure.
I'll just add that EdTech's contract is increasing per cost ADA additional students at ECHS Gardena. So it's very consistent. It's not a rate increase, but it's each year based on the additional numbers of students, we're going to have an increase. And then the School Nutrition Plus vendor 3% increase is aligned with what I'm hearing all districts are getting. It's less than the COLA that we're receiving. So it seems an appropriate increase.
Any questions or comments from the board or anyone else before we move to approve the minutes as well as the contracts? Okay, and I will move to Madhu.
Sorry, hi.
Ken?
Hi.
Janina?
Hi.
Kennedy?
Hi.
Travis?
Hi.
Anthony, consent items A and B have been approved. Thank you. And then the action items, there is one item to approve the expanded learning opportunity grant plans for ECHS Lawndale, ECMS Gardena, and ECMS Inglewood. And so first let's have a motion to approve and then we'll open it up to questions and comments. Do I have a motion to approve action item A?
Yes, this is Madhu. I motion to approve action item A.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
That would be Ken, yes?
Yes.
Okay, Farnaz, did you want to provide any additional insights after an hour of the...
So yeah, and basically the information in this application is very much what we went through in the presentation and what we've done for the community. And all I would say is that it's something that we're expecting to change over time. So in a couple months, we'll reassess. After that, we'll reassess. And we're going to forecast 5 years out and continue to analyze and plan in a strategic way and be cautious of our sustainability as we do this work. So it's going to be a long process, and we're grateful for the questions and feedback you shared.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions, concerns before we move to approve? Okay. Madhu.
Aye.
Ken.
Aye.
Janina.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Travis.
Aye.
Anthony, aye. The ELO has been approved. Thank you, everyone. I'll turn it back over to Farnaz to talk about upcoming dates and announcements.
So our next board meeting is scheduled for June 24th at 5 p.m. And that's when we're going to approve the LCAPs and have a chance to look at our data for the year thus far and spend some more time on our strategic priorities benchmark chart. In addition to that, we're asking if you can please do the Brown Act self-paced online training. Jeremiah, how long does that take? Roughly?
It might take some of our board members only 45 minutes, but it could take up to an hour and a half. So I budget the time, but there are 30 days starting from today to complete it. We're suggesting that it get done by June 23rd so that if there are any remaining questions, they could be brought to the board meeting on June 24th. But also anytime you want to reach out to me, I can help provide some light on the Brown Act. So yeah, if anyone has any issues accessing the online modules, I can also help with that. I provided some extra email help with some details on how to get in.
Can you start it? Oh, sorry. Can you start it and then pick up where you left off, or do you have to do it in one sitting?
Oh, you can start it and stop it at any time. Yeah, it works pretty easily. But yeah, up to 1.5 hours.
Also, fair warning that Jeremiah plans to quiz you all on this at the board meeting on the 24th. So if you can, make sure you come prepared. Okay, that's all that I have. And I'd love to open up for appreciations for everyone here. I'm going to stop sharing. And then after this, we're going to transition to closed session, which should be pretty fast. So I'm going to open up so we can all see each other and open up for appreciations. And I'll go first.
I love these short meetings.
Yay. I want to appreciate Tracy Bondi because I had so much fun developing this budget with her and thinking through the process and phasing it out and thinking 5 years ahead and putting all these projections in. And it's really fun to think with you that way, Tracy, and I really appreciate you. So I'm very grateful for your presence. Thank you.
Thank you, Farnaz. Sorry for the screaming children, but yeah, I really appreciated working with you too. It's much more fun this year than it was last year. Oh, yeah.
Yes, thank you all so much for being here. And in order to keep the meeting short and maintain Ken's appreciation, we can go ahead and ask to move into closed session. Jeremiah, do we have to vote on that before we move into closed session?
Yes, and then we can pause the recording after that and unpause it when we come back.
Okay, so if I have a motion to move to closed session, in case anyone didn't see it on the agenda, we'll be discussing a few personnel items. So it should hopefully take 15 or 20 minutes just to give people an understanding that we should be finished. Oh, go. You have something?
I really apologize. There's one appreciation that can't go unsaid. Our principals that are here have been working tirelessly these last few weeks to bring students back on campus. The amount of work they've all been carrying, the amount of love, watching them walk through the halls again with joy on their faces, seeing the pictures of kids picking fruit off of trees, engaging, being excited to be there, seeing the joyous faces on our students has been more rewarding than I can say. But I know that these three humans, in addition to Danielle, all of whom are carrying a tremendous amount of weight on their shoulders with beautiful little humans at home. I just want to appreciate you all. I hope that you feel intensely loved and appreciated and valued. And I hope that we can find ways to give you space in the coming months to take care of yourselves more, because you guys are awesome.
Casey just put something in the chat box that bears recognizing out loud during this meeting.
Yes, and ECHS was recognized as a California Distinguished School this year for the first time, which is tremendous and definitely worthy of recognition. Yes.
It is amazing.
Yeah. Yes. Kudos to all of you who made that happen.
I also want to give an appreciation to Jeremiah, and I'm sure Farnaz and Anthony, because when I got the board packet, I was like, I read it. I was like, I knew what I was going to expect. It was so clear. There were like lots of communications to help me get up to speed each time. The PowerPoint was awesome. It was very well done and very thoughtful. And I really appreciated it. So here's to you guys.
Yeah. And I don't know if it was appreciated last time. I know, Ken, we're now getting into more appreciations, but you know, as everyone knows, the PSA was signed on a new project, and I just want to appreciate Allison for the tremendous amount of effort. And there are a lot of people to appreciate, but she was the leader in getting that done. And it was not an easy task given the people involved. So I just want to, appreciate you, Allison, for getting that across the finish line.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, if I can get a motion to adjourn and move into closed session.
This is Travis. I move to adjourn and go into closed session.
Thank you, Travis. Do I have a second?
Ken, I'll second.
Ken, all right. Thank you. Madhu.
Aye.
Ken.
Aye.
Janina.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Travis.
Aye.
And Anthony, aye. It's been approved to adjourn and moved into closed session. So, Jeremiah, can you stop the recording? Is that...
Anthony, okay. I think we're good to go ahead and return if you want to go ahead and do that.
Yes. Okay. I just, from a ratifying, maybe just reporting out of closed session, the board has once again approved and ratified the salary of 5%, the salary increase of 5% for Farnaz. We will continue to evaluate and potentially develop an incentive program that would be shared across the organization. It looks like we do need to vote on the ratification of your employment agreement. And so I would ask for a motion to ratify Farnaz's employment agreement.
Wait a minute. So we're ratifying a salary increase. Is that different from an employment agreement?
So, Farnaz, correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding would be that the employment agreement would now reflect a 5% increase in your salary.
Exactly. And then that would give you permission to sign on behalf of the board once ratified by the board members.
And so we're ratifying a one-year contract. Mm-hmm. Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
Exactly.
All right.
And the only change, my understanding, Farnaz, would be the only change would be that salary increase.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So I'll make that motion.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I second Madhu.
Madhu, thank you, Madhu. So Madhu?
Aye.
Ken?
Aye.
Janina?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
Travis?
Aye.
And Anthony, aye. The employment agreement has been ratified. I think that being said, once again, Farnaz, thank you for all your hard work and your participation. Thank you, board members, for your hard work and participation. And I think I need to once again, do I need to do a motion and approval of adjourning, or have we adjourned?
Yeah, we know we do. I'll yep. move to adjourn.
Ken, you're the movement king. You've had six motions. Do I have a second?
This is Travis. I second.
All right. Madhu.
Aye.
Ken.
Aye.
Janina.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Travis.
Aye.
Anthony. Aye.
You guys, I forgot to share in the appreciations that Kennedy has shared a tremendous amount of furniture and technology with us.
Oh, I saw that. That was amazing. A
phenomenal, phenomenal gain for our schools. And I'm sorry that I didn't say it during the appreciation, Kennedy, but thank you so much.
It's awesome. I'm not aware of it. What? Give us a little insight.
Hundreds of desks, hundreds of chairs. Lots of laptops and iPads from a school that closed. They gave us first dibs to access cabinets, file cabinets, hundreds of things. And it's going to make the launch of ECHS Gardena easier. And also some of our campuses have those big desks that make it hard, like with five kids on one table, that make it hard to social distance. And so we might be able to, in the interim, use those desks at our existing campuses, other existing campuses as well. So it's a huge coup, a huge victory for us. And thank you so much, Kennedy.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. You're a superhero.
It's my pleasure. I just want to make sure to go to well-deserving population and the students of ECS, and those parents are just, you know, they're number one on my list.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you.
Thank you all so much.
Okay, have a great night. Appreciate everyone. Night.
Thank you. See everyone.
Night.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.